Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A lot's at stake in a courtroom, especially if it's you in the dock. One day, every believer will be on trial for his or her faithfulness to Christ. What we did with what we were given will be evaluated. Are you ready for your certain date in the courtroom of Jesus? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today, we turn again to Luke chapter 19 for more on getting faithfulness right.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or bad." Wow, this is reckoning time. This is not a time that is really unimportant that you can forget about. This is what you should live for. Now, we don't understand the 10 cities. You know, how many cities are there going to be in the millennial kingdom? How many cities throughout all of eternity? Are we actually going to be ruling these cities? Well, the answer seems to be yes, for the faithful. You have one man who receives good and faithful servant from the lips of Jesus. The other doesn't, but he's not so faithful, but he still gets 5 cities. I've been talking very quickly. I want to talk to you directly so that you understand from my heart to yours about this. Most people, when they think about rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, they think it's going to be crowns, medallions that we throw at the feet of Jesus and then walk away and forget how badly we lived on earth. We might be getting those crowns and we might throw them at the feet of Jesus, but we're going to have to pick them up again because the Bible says that we're going to rule with him. But not everyone in heaven is going to receive the same reward. Remember this, is a thorough evaluation. This is very, very serious. Some people will have more responsibility in heaven. It isn't just the idea of some crown that I throw at the feet of Jesus. No, this has to do with responsibilities in the kingdom. Those of you who have taken college entrance exams, the reason for that exam is to know where you are to be slotted and in terms of what courses you can take. All of life is an entrance exam, so God knows how much responsibility to give you in the kingdom. The way you live now will have consequences during the millennial reign and probably throughout all of eternity. Wow. Jesus said, "He who overcomes, to him I shall grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne." I read this and I say, how disproportionate. I mean, the person who used his mina to get 10 minas, I mean, that was great. That's 1,000%, isn't it? I'm just doing that in my head as I'm moving along. You remember, I always say that when it comes to arithmetic, as long as I'm right 90% of the time, I mean, who cares about the other 5%? 1,000%, that's great. But does he really deserve ruling over 10 cities? Of course not. Oh, God is so generous when he rewards faithfulness, it boggles the mind. Well, that's the faithful servants, but we're not at the end of the story, and now the story becomes even more sobering, because there is one servant who isn't faithful. You'll notice it says, and verse 19, you're to have rulership over 5 cities, but verse 20, another came saying, "Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you're a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow." And Jesus said to him, "Okay, I understand. You've got some bitterness and your fear, so I'm going to excuse you. That what your translation says, you're reading from the reversed vision. He says in verse 22, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Is that your opinion of me? Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I could have collected it with interest? This takes our breath away. Couple of comments. First, the man was filled with fear. He said, you know, God, you're very austere. You are very unknowable. You are very judgmental. And so I was afraid, and I accepted this mina. I accepted the gospel, but I kept it wrapped up because I'm so full of fear about you. I decided to play it safe. I wasn't willing to take any kind of a risk at all for the purpose of the gospel. I only played that which was safe, that which was close to the vest, as the saying goes. And then not only was he fearful, but the bottom line, of course, was that he was very faithless. The reason, you see, he took the gospel for himself, hid it in a handkerchief, never shared it, is because he did not have confidence that the gospel had the ability to multiply itself. He didn't believe that if the gospel were shared and if he got involved in propagating the gospel, that it would have an eternal impact. So he was content to have the gospel be something that he enjoyed and benefited from, but he himself was not going to do anything to advance it. No interest in the bank. And I think there's something else going on in the text. I thought of it this morning. I think he's angry. I mean, these are the words of somebody who's angry. And when you have somebody who's angry with God, angry at the church, angry because of the way in which their money has been spent, what do? They say to themselves, you'll never get anything out of me. I may be here to lick up a blessing for myself, but I'm not going to lift a finger to bless anybody else. Oh, bitter people are oftentimes very stingy, angry, and they take the mina. They're glad for it, but they don't share it. The rest of the story is not heartwarming at all. You'll notice that Jesus did not look upon this and say, well, I'm going to excuse you because you had a hard background. You'll notice he says, why didn't you put my money in the bank? If you think that I was so austere and so angry, you should have been working hard to please me. Didn't give you an excuse not to do anything. And then you'll notice Jesus said, to those who stood by, he said, I'm in verse 24, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they say exactly what we would. Lord, he's already got 10. Why give it to the man who has 10 already? Why should he have 11? And Jesus said, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And then the most solemn words of all, but as for those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. You know, this is the meek and mild Jesus. I'm so amused when sometimes on the news it says, well, didn't Jesus just preach love? Well, yeah, he preached love and died to demonstrate it. But he's also the Jesus of great judgment. Now, what I'd like to do is to bring this down where you and I live, because I intend that your life be changed because you're hearing God's word. Our lives should always be changed when we hear God's word. And a sobering word like this from the lips of Jesus should not escape us at all. Couple of comments. First of all, we're accountable for what we do with the gospel. Did the gospel save you? Did God's gospel save you? I realize today that most of you, I'm sure, are saved. Many of you are not. But for a moment, I'm talking to those of you who are, and you know it because of your faith in Christ. Did you know that you're going to be held accountable? Did you know that you're going to come into the presence of Jesus and Jesus is going to say, what did you do with my gospel that saved you? How do we invest in the gospel so that we're not embarrassed at his return? A couple of comments. First of all, what we need to do is to share the gospel. How can you explain a man or a woman saved by Jesus for all eternity, working with people perhaps in a business, next to them, and the person next to them year after year does not know that he or she is even a Christian, as they keep the gospel wrapped in that handkerchief, as they hide it under a bushel and make sure that no one sees it, either because they're ashamed, but that's not the real reason. Did you know why people don't witness for Christ? No matter how much he does for us, it is so difficult to get Christians to speak about him. You say, well, it's because they don't know how. Listen, there are tons of courses out there on how to witness. And it's so easy. You can give them a book and say, read this book and I'll talk to you about it in 2 weeks' time. Not to put too fine a point on it, but one that you might like to use is 1 minute after you die. That would be a wonderful book to give to somebody. And then say, I'll talk to you about this in 2 weeks. That's not the real reason. We've got methodology coming out of our ears. The real reason that people do not share the faith is because they themselves are not walking in spiritual victory, and therefore they say to themselves, who am I to commend Jesus to someone when obviously I'm not walking in fellowship with him at all? You see, that's really the reason, and that's why evangelism happens when the Holy Spirit helps us clean up our lives. It is then that we begin to share the good news. Many Christians are like a cup, half filled, trying desperately to spill over. But they have nothing to give for others because their own cup is only half full. We should share the gospel. Well, let me ask you a question today, my friend. Is your cup only half full? Could it be that it has sprung a leak? We here at Running to Win want to do all that we can to encourage you in your Christian life. I've written a book entitled Getting Closer to God, Lessons from the Life of Moses. Did you know that God oftentimes leads us to a place that is very bitter? As Israel experienced bitter waters, and yet God comes along and even in the bitterness makes those waters sweet. There's so much that we can learn from the book of Exodus, and I've written this book entitled Getting Closer to God, Lessons from the Life of Moses.
Erwin Lutzer is continuing Getting Faithfulness Right, the seventh in a series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Next time on Running to Win, why a parable about money is really a parable about the gospel. Pastor Lutzer's book, Getting Closer to God, Lessons from the Life of Moses, will be sent to you as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.